Good morning. Feels like I've been away for a long time. I don't know why, but it's not been that long, has it? Feels like that. But we're here, and I trust you're ready to receive the word. It's it shouldn't surprise us that in the light of all the disasters that's hitting the earth, that we should look again, what is the Word of God saying about that? You can hardly put the news on, whether it's CNN or South Africa's news or Britain or wherever. It's mostly about disasters in nature. Earthquakes, flooding, storms, hurricanes. Interesting names, the hurricanes. They all have female names. No, some are, they're putting male names now. They used to call hurricanes by female names. What is Irma? Irma is a female name. And what is the first one? Harvey. Is that male? That's a boy, all right. Okay. Then, what about all these threats from North Korea about a nuclear war? Doesn't look good. And I thought it's time for us to just take a fresh look, not new to most of us, about what could be behind all of this. And I'm starting in Genesis 1, verse 1. And we will end in Revelation. No, I don't think we'll go all the way. What I believe God wants us to hear and absorb is that the devil is not in charge. Can I hear from you?
Yes.
Satan is not in charge. I'm doing a fresh study about that whole issue, but we'll get to that in the next week or two. But this morning, I want us to take note of some things. It's going to be wrong for us to ignore and turn a blind eye to the news. I'm not saying that you should be glued to the TV and watch all the news all the time, because it's not nice. It's not good for you. It's not good for us. But to ignore it totally is also a bit irresponsible. Find out what's happening and then ask God for the right biblical response. First of all, in Genesis 1 verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I want to say it's from the beginning. Do you believe and agree that the earth belongs to God? Do you believe that? Because there's quite a percentage of the Western Christian church who they're ready to give the planet to the devil. They want to go to heaven. But my Bible says this earth belongs to the Lord, and this earth will be covered by the glory of God like the waters cover the sea. This planet belongs to God. All right? And it's interesting, in verse 1, you should note that the creation responded to the word of God. Think about that. Creation responded to the word of God. That's a very fundamental statement. Now you go on to verse 2. And I've made references to this before, and I'm going to do it again this morning. The second verse puzzles me. God created the heavens and the earth. Do you think God made a mess of it? What do you think it looked like when God created the heavens and the earth? Well, something must have happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Because verse 2 says, and the earth was formless and void. Formless and void. These two words in the original language, tohu and bohu, formless and void, these two words appear in two other scriptures in the Bible only. Two other scriptures. And I want to turn there briefly, and I want to show you, first of all, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, if you can listen to it, otherwise make a note, because I want you to take this with you, take it on board. Isaiah 45, verse 18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He is the God that formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place. And that word waste is tohu. God did not create the earth void and empty. Okay, are you with me? Then I want to take you to another scripture. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 and verse 11. 34 and verse 11. I'm going to start with verse 8. Isaiah 34 and verse 8 says, for the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Then in verse, all right, let's read on of it. And its stream shall be turned into pitch, and its loose earth into brimstone, and its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched right night or day. Its smoke shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall be desolate. None shall pass through it forever and ever. And verse 11, but pelican and hedgehog shall possess it. An owl and raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch over it the line of desolation. There's the word tohu. And the plumb line of emptiness, there's the word bohu again. Desolation and emptiness. This, in brief, you can make your own study, is the result of God's anger, his vengeance. This is what this whole chapter is about. I want to show you another one in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And let's read from verse 23. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. From verse 23, Jeremiah 4. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void. Bohu, tohu. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking. And all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and behold, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a wilderness, and its cities were pulled down before the Lord and before his fierce anger. And you can read on. I felt to bring that in very briefly, that's actually a very interesting study to make. But I want us, and this is my search, this is my own way of searching, and I also listened to Dr. William Hinn, who made comments on this, all the stuff happening in the world right now. We need to not overreact or react wrong or rebuke this or rebuke that. Before we do that, let's have a better understanding of what's happening. Now, let me show you again in Genesis chapter 2. It's amazing right here in the beginning. I believe that the book of Genesis is one of the most important books in the whole Bible. Because all the foundations, all the Genesis, all the genes, all the beginnings are found right here in the book of Genesis. Now, chapter 2, verse 7. This is where the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Bringing that in to say that the whole universe is a living organism, and we're part of that. Man was formed from the dust of the earth. And you'll see later on why there's such a reaction from the earth when there's injustice going on. So now it says, man was formed from the dust, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Go to Genesis chapter 4 and look at this. Here's the first big problem, and that's the problem between Cain and Abel. And I'm picking up from verse 10, Genesis 4, verse 10. You know what happened here. You know the story. They both had offering, and it seems like Abel's offering was received, but Cain's offering was not received. It says God had no regard for Cain's offering. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. And he says, God said to him, "Why are you angry?" This is verse 6. "And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And the Lord God said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I just want us to see the interaction, the unity of everything in the universe. Everything in the universe is connected. Do you believe that? Everything is connected in a very mysterious way, but it is connected. Earth responded to the first murder. Earth responded. We read in Numbers 35, verse 33, just listen. "So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation." In other words, there will be no reparation for guilt. No expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. In Jeremiah 12, verse 4, "How long is the land to mourn and the vegetation of the countryside to wither?" And then, verse 11, "For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, animals and birds have been snatched away, because men have said, 'He will not see our latter ending.'" Just to show you the connection between things going wrong and the earth's response to it. Now, the big one, and this can take us hours, but I'm just going to touch on it because this household will know there's some years ago I did some teaching on this. But this is in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. "Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, 'My spirit shall not strive with or in man,'" more accurate, "will not strive in man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. Now, the Nephilim refers to giants that were born because of things that went badly wrong. And it says here, these Nephilim were born when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. I don't want to go into that. That's a huge study on its own, the Nephilim. But what I want you to see is this. Something went wrong to such an extent that it says in the Bible, it's right here, and God, it grieved God that he had made man. I can't imagine that. My mind is just not able to understand that. How can the sovereign God grieve because he had made man? But that's exactly what it says. And then we know what followed was the flood, and God wiped out humanity except for Noah and his family, a total of 8 in the ark. God saved them, and we'll get back to that. Now, Genesis 19, there's a whole chapter there. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Genesis 19 is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think that's familiar to all of us, Sodom and Gomorrah. Very interesting incident here, very interesting. 2 angels came to Sodom, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. 2 angels, that's what the Bible says. But later on we find that Lot baked unleavened bread and the angels ate. Now, some people, I've heard some people preach that that can never happen. But this is what the Bible says. These angels can materialize. Angels can become like you and me. They can eat. Don't ask me how that happens, but that's what it happened here. And then the men in Sodom heard about the 2 angels in Lot's house. And they wanted relations with them. They wanted to have sexual intercourse with the 2 men, with the angels. And we know what happened. God warned Lot and his family to flee the city and get out. And we know what happened. Lot's wife turned around and she turned into a pillar of salt. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read that whole story, he destroyed the cities of the valley and nothing was left over. Smoke all over the place. God responded to that sinful deed, to a culture that seemed to have been part of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we together? All right. The earth was filled with violence, and it caused God's response with anger. Now, I want to go to Luke. I'm going to make a jump now. Can you see we're making progress? I'm in Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I want you to follow because we're going to really put a picture together here which I trust will help us to read, understand what's happening in the world. In Luke 17 from verse 26. Are we there? Luke 17, 26. It says, "And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and were given in marriage. This is referring to Genesis 6. Now, I'm giving you how I read those scriptures. I can't see anything wrong with people getting married and given in marriage. Can't see something wrong with that. Except that I believe in this case, in Genesis 6, it was more than that. And we definitely know in Sodom and Gomorrah, it went beyond that. Right? Now it says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man." And it says, "They were marrying, given in marriage, and so forth, and until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." And then it goes on, and verse 28 says, it was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. It all seems very normal and natural, nothing wrong with it, but we know there was a deeper issue at stake. And then it says, but on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And verse 30, it will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. It will be just the same as when the Son of Man is revealed. Hold on to that. I'll come back to it. My question is, what is going on in our world? Read it through these scriptures, and there will be more in the days to come. Listen to this. Dr. William Hinn gave these statistics. In 1973, churches in the USA started allowing abortion. Abortion. And since then, hold your breath, since 1973, an average of 3,000 babies per day have been aborted. A total of 15 million so far. Innocent babies have been aborted. The earth became cursed with innocent blood. Question. I know this is sensitive ground. How does God see the trend towards same-sex marriages? What is the response going to be? Because it's many countries now, it's legalized. Are we together? Then, why do you think, since 1990, in the 1990s, natural disasters have affected 217 million people each year. 217 million people have been affected by natural disasters. Do you think there's any connection between this and what we've just looked at? Many scientists even agree today that climate chaos, as we're seeing what's happening, is not, as many other scientists will say, is because of global warming. Scientists are beginning to say and see it's because of human behavior. And don't blame global warming for everything. So with this very, very condensed little bit of information, we can come to at least one or two conclusions. The conditions in the world, which seem to be on the increase, has to do, A, with the wrath of God, with the anger of God. Many people say, well, God can't get angry. He's always kind and lovely. Well, we've just seen what happened in the incidents that we've quoted. Then, on Facebook's going wild. People respond and say, when they see these things, all these floods and hurricanes, they say, get ready. The rapture is going to take place any moment. What we've just read in Luke chapter 17, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be when the Son of Man is revealed. revealed. We've looked at the word revelation. What does the word revelation mean? To reveal means to unveil so that you can see what is. Do we understand that Christ in us is the hope of glory? How many of you believe Christ in you? Christ in us, the hope of glory. So what needs to be revealed? Christ in us needs to come forth and become visible. The corporate man, the corporate Christ. Now, when I read this and listen to the news, every time I go back and read Romans 8. I read Romans 8 from verse 19. Romans 8 from verse 19. As it was in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, so it'll be when the Son of Man is revealed. Isn't that what is hidden in these verses? Listen carefully. Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, which means for the revealing of the Son in the sons. Creation is in travail. Creation is on tiptoe. You must read all the different translations. Verse 20 says, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. Can I make a prediction? It's going to get worse before it gets better. The cry of creation is going to get louder and louder. Mark my words. Creation is one. And they respond because of their link to the one who created it. The earth responds to the death of innocent children, innocent blood. What should our response be? That's my question. Think, in the light of this, and I've really given it very condensed, what should the response of the church be? I'm going to read something to you in a minute. 2 Chronicles 7 from verse 12. Get this. 2 Chronicles 7 from verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, hello, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. The earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. Don't give this earth to the devil. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do we want to run away from earth? Where will you run to anyway? The earth belongs to the Lord. But what is required of the church of Jesus Christ is this response. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves and pray. I would like to see a bigger response from this household coming to our prayer meeting. We started a prayer meeting here on Monday night, which I believe is a seed planted. It has the potential to be used of God in a powerful way. And I believe, it's not just here, but the Church of Jesus Christ, in whatever expression and label, there has to be this response. Not because we want to live a better life, but we want to see the manifestation of the Son of God in the sons. Romans 8 is going to become loud because the next step there is, hallelujah, is our resurrection bodies. Amen. Think of that. A body like Jesus Christ after his ascension, after his resurrection from the dead. Now, I want to close with this. I don't think this came by accident. But I want to read you a prophetic statement. I don't know this person. His name is Ryan Lestrange. Ring a bell. I want you to hear what he's saying. I'm not impressed by all these wild prophecies that come and go and fly everywhere. But this one has something that triggered something in me. This man had a vision. He said it was only in his sleep God gave him a vision. He said, I saw amazing rainstorms carrying the rains of refreshing, renewal, and revival. The Lord is sending these storms to soak the ground and transform the territory. I heard the Lord saying to me that sudden flash floods of revival are coming forth from the cloud. The cloud. Dry places are about to be soaked. And then in Exodus 20 verse 18, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. This is in Exodus. Then he says, I saw violent eruptions of lightning and realms of power coming forth. And the Lord showed me that there will be lightning strikes, igniting wild fires of revival. What this is doing is that what we see in the physical will have a spiritual counterpart. It's going to happen in the spirit. Right? Listen to this. After this vision, I fell asleep and had a series of dreams about the glory storms and the cloud of his presence. In the first dream, I was ministering in a church, and the Lord, now I want you to get this. He was ministering in the church, and the Lord asked me to share about the glory storms. The glory storms. The church was convinced that they knew and understood the glory realm. They were singing songs about the glory, but it was out of a ritual and routine. Let's not duck and dive now. Take this on board. They had the language, but not the presence. You see, we sing beautiful songs. And many of these songs have been written by people in worship, in prayer, and waiting on God. We sing that. I love these songs. But Lord, help us. Let's not go past the personal experience of His presence. It says here, they sing the songs, but it's a ritual and routine. They had the language, but not the presence. I told them that they needed to worship in the cloud. Follow the cloud and get caught up in the cloud. They refused. So the Lord released me from that group. The Lord showed me that they were out of alignment and blinded by routine. The message here is that to move in the glory storms, it takes much more than the right language. It takes radical pursuit and obedience. I'm taking this on board. I hope you do. Then I had a second dream where I was in another church preparing to speak in a meeting after a well-known prophetic leader. Get this. There was a prophetic leader, and this man came in after that, and after the conference or whatever. And after that leader spoke, I got up to share a few moments on the glory storms and the cloud. People began a mass exit, totally uninterested in what I had to say. I was stunned. I inquired of the Lord about what was happening. He revealed to me that they were more interested in getting a prophetic word and receiving insight or information than hosting His presence. People will queue up to get a prophetic word in today's churches. Just to get, I want a prophecy over my life. But can we host the presence of God? Bizweni, this is my heart's cry for this house. Is the Holy Spirit welcome in our meetings? Does He feel welcome and comfortable in our worship? Or are we going through a habit? I believe this is the picture of the current prophetic. Many want the revelation, the information, but are uninterested in His presence. The message of the cloud and the storms is one of presence and personal pursuit. And then, interestingly enough, I got this after I prepared for the word. It says, the days of Noah and the storms of glory. He says this year, and moving into 2018, is an apostolic grace. There's an apostolic grace, a divine empowerment to build, to pioneer, and father in the glory. We will see strategies and structures built that can steward these storms of glory to being transformation to a region. Can you see this? If we are stewards of this anointing, the region will change. The region, not just this property. It goes on and goes on and on, but I want to close with this. As we look at the days of Noah, we can glean insight into the days ahead. We are in the days of Noah. By the way, Noah, the name Noah means rest. Then it says, in the days of Noah, the land was filled with violence and injustice. In the days of Noah, they were busy with routine. Hello? Routine. In the days of Noah, they couldn't discern the time. In the days of Noah, the deluge came to destroy all flesh. In the days of Noah, the waters lifted up the ark. The waters lifted up the ark. In the days of Noah, he walked faithfully with God. What a short testimony of a man like Noah. There was a man by the name Noah. He walked with God and he qualified as one to be saved with his whole family. The Noahs will be able to discern the time and the seasons, to release strategies and build by faith when no one else will build. They will walk in obedience and endure the mockers and scoffers who say it is foolish to prepare for an outpouring of glory. The glory storms will separate and elevate the Noahs. The Noahs will come out from among the old wineskin structures to build vessels that can steward the glory. They will be separated from those who walk after the flesh and are not led by the Spirit. No flesh can glory in the glory storms of the Lord. Just as the waters lifted the ark, the glory will elevate the true kingdom vessels. Noah's name means rest. In the glory, we can build without striving. We can pray without striving, and miracles happen without striving. There is a resting that is released in the glory. All needs are met in the glory. The clouds are rolling on. The sounds of thunder and clapping and lightning is flashing across the horizon. There are storms coming, storms of glory. It is time to prepare. It's time to prepare.